Blog Talk Radio.
To What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries in Richmond, Virginia. We help you make the Word of God real. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We want to help you be genuine in your faith, humble in your service, and blessed in your blessings. This morning we are trying some new technology out. We're doing this show totally mobile, and so I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, but we're going to find out. And I think it's still going to all be good. As always, I have my partner with me in crime, if you will, Pastor Godfrey Kasirian. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you okay.
It'll be interesting to hear what the playback quality sounds like when I listen to it this afternoon.
Right.
New technology. Well, it's not really new technology, but we're trying to do this, like I say, totally mobile, away from the landline phone,
right.
To see that, you know, if we could actually do this on the road somewhere, that would be pretty interesting as well. So,
right.
Praise God. You want to pray, and we're going to get started today in John chapter 12.
Yes, sir. Father, I want to thank you yet once again. Having this opportunity to come in your presence, Lord God. We thank you as we break the bread of life, the word of life. We thank you, your promises at the entrance of your word, Lord, light comes therein, Father. This morning we're praying for our listeners, Lord God, that they will be able to take this word, Lord God. And Father, we thank you for yet many miracles that will be performed for those that will hear this word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen.
Amen, and amen. So how are things going at the church?
Things are doing very well, sir. We were there last Sunday celebrating, enjoying the word of life again. As always.
Amen. There's nothing else better to celebrate, is it?
Amen.
Amen,
amen,
brother. How's Mama doing? Is she doing all right?
Yeah, she's doing all right. Yes, she's doing all right. A lot of
them say, let's take a look at, I'm going to be reading out of New King James Version.
Right.
And we're starting in John chapter 12, verse 1. And let's see what the Holy Spirit of God has to say to us this morning.
Amen.
In John chapter 12, verse 1, it says, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Glory be to God. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, and we all know about that scoundrel, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrance oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let their let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Glory be to God.
Glory to God.
Let's talk about that just a little bit. That's kind of an interesting scenario. Here he is having supper in the same place that he had raised Lazarus from the dead, which would seem to be, to me, an indication of life. Hallelujah.
Exactly.
And so then you have Martha and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we know that Martha was kind of like the doer, and Mary was the worshiper, if you will. And
that's
so
right.
We know that in previous accounts in the Bible, there were times that, you know, Martha, Martha, you are troubled by many things. Jesus had actually rebuked her somewhat and told her, said, "Look, you know, don't take away from Mary what she wants. She wants the purity of the word."
Mm.
And of course, you know, he was the word, and that's exactly what she was seeking, was the presence of God.
Exactly.
And last week on our show in John chapter 11, there was a verse in there, man, that just lit me up, man, and it was just absolutely awesome. And it says, "By faith will you see the glory of God." And so we know that faith, of course, now is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen, and the glory of God is the presence of God. And so
this is what
Mary is seeking right here. She is offering a sacrifice to Jesus because she is searching for the presence or the glory of God. Hallelujah.
That's right.
What else can you draw from that?
And it's quite interesting. I'll go to where you started, that here we see Jesus. He was in a place where life was brought back. And as you talked about Mary always just wanted to sit in the presence of Jesus. I mean, just gaze upon him, who is also the Word, and that Word is life. And it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Mary. Here she is. She's pouring out her best to Jesus. And the man that is to betray the life, in other words, for him, he had no regard for this life, for the Word. He's saying, well, all this waste that has been poured out, and Jesus makes a statement which is so touching and revealing in verse 7, where he says, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this?" And I've been wondering, you remember in the gospel, I believe it's in Matthew, where Jesus had to say to Judas that what Mary has done, every time the gospel, and we know the gospel is life because it's Christ himself. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But he said, whenever the gospel is preached, what Mary has done has to be added on. I'm still pondering upon the statement he started off of life. Jesus is in this house where life was brought back, and he himself is the Word, and we know that the Word is life. We go again and we meditate on what Mary did. We find that Jesus said every time the gospel is preached, what Mary has done has to be added on. And I'm looking at, if we come to love the Word, of course, that's where he says that if you love my word, then you are my disciples indeed, because the word is life. And are we to enjoy life? Let's continue again to ponder on this statement in verse 7, where he says that he has done this against my bearing. And I was looking at the rest of the ladies. They come after Jesus has been buried. They come and they had brought spices. But I believe Mary must have seen something much earlier and said, "Oh, let me bury my Lord before." I'm pondering about life there, because for her, I think, like the scripture says that, behold the Lamb that was slain. But in Revelation it said he was slain before the foundation of the world.
Wow.
Mary was still seeing life. And I believe by revelation, she knew that if I pour out my best unto this Lord, I'm receiving that life also.
Well, let's look at that even from a somewhat natural perspective.
Correct.
Jesus told her in verse 7, he says, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial.
Wow.
And so just think about that surely from a natural perspective. Here she has this very expensive fragrant oil, that she has been keeping for obviously some period of time. It's not like, you know, she just went down to 7-Eleven and picked it up.
Correct.
So this is something that had inherent value to her. Oh, glory to God.
Mm.
And so
come on.
She, because it had inherent value to her, she wanted to bestow it upon the master because the value, and it was not for like a barter exchange or something like that. I'm going to give you this so you'll give me something else. That was not
right.
Not the intent at all. Now, that's what Judas said.
Mm.
Judas says we should have taken this oil that's worth 300 denarii and sold it and given it to the poor so I could put my hands in the till and take that $300 and put it in my pocket.
Because we know he would take it out of the pocket.
That's right. And so then you have to look here and this really, I had expected this morning. But this really opens up something about about tithing and giving offerings. Okay.
Come on.
We are. Bible says that we are to give our offerings and our tithes are supposed to be the best, the first fruits. Well, actually, the tithe is the first fruit, and the offering can be anything else after that. But it's supposed to be the best of what we have. And so that's exactly what we see Mary doing here, is giving her very best and expecting nothing in return. Mm. However, Jesus shows her, he says, look, because you have done this, you know, then you're gonna have eternal life. You're gonna live life forever. And
exactly.
And not only will you do that, but as you so eloquently stated, everybody that reads about this event after that would have to take that into consideration. They would have to at least evaluate the motives of her giving.
Mm. And it still amazes me. In one of the Gospels, it says that Jesus appeared first to Mary. I'm wondering, is it still because she gave her best? That even when the Lord was elected.
I think so. I think he was, not impressed, but he was moved by her compassion. He was moved by the intent of her heart, and yet he tells everybody in the room. He says, "Look, she has saved this for the day of my burial."
Mm.
Oh my goodness! Mm. And now they're looking around going, What's he talking about? See, because they still were not tuned into the spirit. They still didn't understand exactly what he was all talking about.
Mm.
I think they knew by what they called faith right at that point that this was a significant event, but I don't really think they understood the impact of what was going on here.
It seems they didn't. It seems they did not understand. And still amazing because when you consider the two women, Mary was more, like you said, was more into sitting at the feet and listening. Could it be that in her spirit she might have, having loved so much to hear the words of the Lord, that she might have received the revelation? Whereas we see here Martha was into serving. And it takes us back to where we were talking about where there are times you can be involved in serving here and there, and we miss on listening and hearing what the Lord
is saying. I think you're absolutely correct. I think there is there's a huge what would you call it? Oh my goodness gracious! Imagine me at a loss for words. This is unbelievable. I think there's a huge habit in the church today.
Correct.
And it comes from previous organizational behavior, especially what I've seen over the years being in volunteer organizations. And let's face it, church is a volunteer organization. You ain't got to go.
Correct.
You know?
Yeah. Mm.
And so, but there's a huge influence in the church today to get people involved right away. And now that's a good thing from some perspective. But they also have to teach that in balance, because there has to be that time, like Mary does, where you just sit at the feet of the master and bask in his glory.
Jesus.
So there's nothing wrong with works. I mean, in fact, he says, you know, show me your faith and I'll show you works.
Very
true. You know, works are not going to get you to heaven.
No.
So there's a balance there, and I think that we see the contrasting styles here between Martha and Mary,
right?
And it is so indicative of the church today. There's so many people out here that are busy doing church that they don't have time to do Jesus. Oh, come on now!
Come on! I tell you, brother, there is so much that we can get from these seven verses. Because if it were you started, if it were you started on verse 1 of chapter 12, says, then Jesus, of course, this is King James, but we all know that whichever version you come to, it was after 6 days before the Passover. Now, specifically, why is it 6 days? And, of course, we look at Genesis where it says man was created on what day?
Oh my goodness.
On the sixth day. So there is a parallel there. Why was man created on I mean, we see life coming on the sixth day. I'm still lingering going, I don't know how the Holy Spirit led you to mention that word life. Because I'm seeing that God on the sixth day, he says, let life come forth. So he gets the dirt and then breathe in the nostrils, and man became.
Man, you don't think like the Holy Ghost got something going on here, do you?
Brother, he has something. That's why I said, he let you get started on something. I believe our listeners, we believe that the Holy Spirit has got something very special. There is life coming in a situation, I believe, brother, to our listeners, as they get this word. Because we look at what has been dead in your situation. And the Lord knows that the timing is so ripe. And this is right now that Jesus, we believe, is seated at the table dining with someone. And life is coming back into being.
Well, yeah, I think it also gives credence to the fact that the Christians love to eat fried chicken. So, I mean, that's just...
yeah, come on.
they'll throw down at a meal in a heartbeat, you know what I mean?
Right.
I was trying to be funny there. That really wasn't very funny. But, yeah, there's some significance between breaking bread, because not only are you breaking the natural bread, but then you also can break spiritual bread, and that's one of the things I love. When people come over here now, it's not like it used to be, where we just sit there and talk about, you know, the Redskins or a NASCAR or something like that. Everybody comes over here now, we talk about, we break the word. We break the word down and partake in a,
that's
in
right.
a share in a portion in a peace, if you will. For me, the more sizable the chunk, the more I like it.
Exactly. How true that is. Yes, brother. How true
You can eliminate all the chit chat and let's just get down to the meal. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yes.
But he says something here in verse 8 too. He says, "For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." And so I think that is. And then here they are eating at a meal. And generally, you think of the poor as those who would have a problem in engaging in that endeavor. But he's providing for them an opportunity to recognize that what they have here today is very special, and
right.
that those who do not have this will be around for a long time.
That is true.
I'm getting ready to hit the road.
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that's a teaching there in and of itself, which is indicative of what we're supposed to do today, and that's take
that's
what
right.
we have and give it away.
Exactly. And
it's in that
giving away. Because you remember there's another verse which says that when we seek to keep our life, then we lose it. But when we give, then we gain.
Mm.
And of course, it
but
tells
you know,
us
that, that makes absolutely no sense in the natural.
Mm, yes.
Because those two concepts are diametrically opposed to each other. How can you give something away and get more? You know, it's all about that we teach people how today you have to hoard, you have to hold on to. You can't let go. And I'm telling you, brother, that is not the case at all. That is absolutely 180 degrees opposite from what it's supposed to be.
It's the opposite, brother. It's the opposite.
But it goes back to exactly what we've been talking about here today, and I think this is so very important. That Mary took a pound of very costly oil,
right?
Which is something that she had been holding on to for a while, so it had inherent value as far as the natural goes.
I believe
she decided to give that as an offering to Jesus to anoint his feet and then wipe his feet with her hair,
right.
Which is a significant from the standpoint of, you know, back in those days, feet were nasty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. because you're walking through where the donkeys have gone, you know, they will do every mess that they want to do, and you're walking in all of this.
Yeah, and so for her to do that was really a pretty significant thing. But it goes back to, again, what is the motive of your giving?
Exactly.
You know, what is God? The Bible says that God judges the intent of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what is the intent of your heart? Why do you do anything that you do? That's one
that
of the things that I like about Romans. I think it's chapter either 8 or 9, verse 1, or 2 or 3, somewhere in there, where Paul says, look, as God is my witness, whom I serve in the ministry of his Son, Jesus Christ,
that's right.
I do this out of my spirit. And when you look at that, you sit there and go, wow. You know, he doesn't really need anybody else to validate and verify who he is, because he's got God as his witness.
Exactly. Well,
God, if God's testifying for me, brother, it doesn't make no difference what you say.
No, it doesn't.
And so here I think we see the same thing, is that Jesus is testifying on behalf of Mary. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he's telling those people, look, what she is doing is a good thing. What she's doing is absolutely right. What she's doing is essential, and it should be an example that you use in the future to help you
right.
do exactly what she's doing right now.
That's very true, yes.
Wow.
And then you see the exact contrast. Why is it that Jesus never commended what Martha was doing? Could it be that Martha was doing it with I don't know, but, you know, you correct me in this. Was it that Martha never took time to listen to know, is this what the Lord, the Master desires? So she went ahead and do what she has desired always to do within herself, which in retrospect to the Lord, it would be like the same thing as the wrong motive. Because Mary would sit and listen. Must have received the revelation, I could say, that my Lord, at one time is going to die, but let me do this earlier before the time of his death.
Well, then here's a question to your question, which I know is an improper grammar or something like that. But, you know, was it about the intent of her heart? I mean, she honestly, I think she wanted to take care of business and
right.
do what was right. But I believe that her intent was correct.
Right.
I don't know. I think a lot of people do things that are good, but they're not necessarily the correct things to do. They're not the most
That's
important
right.
things to do.
That's right.
I know years ago, you know, I actually, when I really got myself pretty well straightened out and was headed in the right direction, you know, I fell in love with the church. But I wasn't in love with God. I loved the church. And
right.
there's a significant difference because I was doing a lot of things in the church, but I wasn't spending any time with God.
Wow.
And I think that's part of the problem in the church today is that we are so into retention and recruitment and promoting people and doing this and that and the other that we're really not putting them in a position where they can be discipled and learn, you know, what the most important things are.
Yes.
Now, again, you know, all of those things, the ushers and the deacons and, you know, the women's ministry and taking care of the babies and all that stuff is important.
Right.
You know, preparing a meal for your guest, Jesus, was important. But what was the most important thing?
Come on.
The most important thing was spending time at the feet of the master.
Time. That's right. And this is where
so I think that's probably our message of today.
I believe so.
As always, we are just about out of time, which is just unbelievable.
Oh,
we haven't even gone through seven verses.
Yeah.
Like I say, I think this Holy Spirit thing's got something going on here.
I tell you.
But anyway, I think that's our message of today is that you know, you need to make sure, you know, all these other things that you do are important, but you must make sure that you spend time at the feet of the Master.
Exactly.
If you don't do that, then you are going to have you're not going to have as fulfilled a Christian walk as you probably could if you took our advice. And took care of the most important things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Any final comments before I close this thing up there, brother?
Before you close, I think, brother, I feel that you've wrapped it all so well. And all I can add on is that if you want life, you got to spend life with a life giver. Otherwise,
Ooh.
It will all be death. That was my conclusion, brother.
Oh my man, that goes back to if you hang around the gutter long enough, some of them will rub off on you.
Exactly. Yes. So if you want your life to
you
rub on,
be who you associate with.
Right. Exactly.
So you can either associate with life or you can associate with death. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well,
thank you, Lord.
Folks, this has been What Does the Word Say today on Tuesday. We'll be back here next week, same time, same place at 10 o'clock. Please join us. And until then, we just pray that that your life is filled with the Spirit of God and that you will be blessed and let the Spirit reign.